Praise the Lord. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day in your presence. We thank you for bringing us to another moment. Lord, we want to hear from you again. We pray that as we go through what you have for us at this point in time, grant us understanding, grant us a word that will run with, that will challenge our lives, and it will bless us too. Thank you for answering our prayers. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Welcome once again in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Today again, we will be brief. We are just going to continue from where we stopped in the last talk, as we take our reading again from the book of Genesis, chapter 3. Genesis, chapter 3. From the book of Genesis, chapter 3, where, remember, we read it from verse 1, and by the grace of God, we stopped our reading in verse 7, and we saw how the woman was tempted, and the Bible say he ate the fruit, the forbidden fruit, and gave to her husband with her, and both of them did eat and became naked, and saw themselves that they were naked, and so they sewed fig leaves, and then they hid themselves. I mean, they made aprons of those fig leaves. And we're going to now continue from there. The Bible says in verse 8, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord, of the Lord God, among the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam, and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. I will stop there. We have read from verse 8 to verse 13. Now, we saw in the last talk that the devil, the serpent, after coming to the woman, and the woman took the ate the fruit of the forbidden tree, then he gave it to the husband. And after the husband ate and they saw that they were naked, I said last time that they ran away from the presence of God. Now, this is the issue. When they ran away, it will interest you to note that they did not run away outside the garden immediately. Are you getting me? The Bible says they had what? the voice of the Lord, the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And his wife, Adam and his wife, hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God. Where? You see, amongst the trees of the garden. In those days, when we say the men ran away, they hid themselves. It looked as if they hid themselves outside the garden. No! They did not hide themselves outside the garden. They hid themselves within the garden among the trees of the garden. You know, I mentioned this in the last talk, but I just want to only some more emphasis. Now, the man was in the garden, dwelling there. Hallelujah. The man and the woman, this first couple, they are living in the garden, was a living by really dwelling. It was their real habitat. It was a comfortable place for them. They found comfort when God was coming there to relate with them, to fellowship with them. They enjoyed it. But when sin came, although they were still in the garden, they were in the garden, but they were hiding people. They were no longer dwelling as before. It was no longer a real habitat for them. They were only living there by hiding. They were no longer there to show themselves to God. They were now living there just to hide. And of course, their life was characterized by hiding. They had many things to hide. They had so many things that they wouldn't like God to know about it. Of course, if there were other people in the garden at that time that were not affected by this situation, they would have even been hiding from those people. Let me ask you, friend, what is now characteristic of your life? Don't you have so many things to hide? That thing that you do and you don't want people to know that you are doing it, you are hiding. You are hiding, but yet as if you are doing well. Let me ask you, that you come to the presence of God, that you come to church and fellowship with other people, are you not a hiding worshipper? Are you not a worshipper, but a hiding man? There are things in your life that you don't want anybody to know about it. Nobody should. You don't want anybody to touch it because you know that if it is known, you are naked. Shame and disgrace will come upon your head. What is that thing in your life that when somebody, people get to know about it, it is going to be shame, a shame upon you, disgrace upon you? I pray for you that God will deliver you from a hiding life. The Bible says, Adam and Eve were living in that garden. They reduced themselves as dwellers, but people that were what? Hiding. No longer dwelling people, but hiding people. Let me ask you, with your situation now, are you really dwelling in the presence of God, or you are hiding before God? What is the condition of your life? Those places you go, the things you do, the things you talk, the way you interact with people, is there nothing you have that you want? You won't let anybody to say anything about it. You are hiding. You are hiding. Let me tell you. If you remain a hiding man, your destiny will remain unrealized. You can't be hiding and get to your destiny. Those who can have access to destiny are men who will never hide. Listen, God cannot control a hiding man. God controls those who are declared that he can touch. You can't be hiding and expect God to be struggling with your hiding. You are so hypocritical, and you know that all is not well, and you just dust off and just say, yes, all is well, yes, no problem, no problem, all is well, God understands, God understands. You are hiding. And because you are hiding, there are so many things about your destiny that are hidden from you. When you hide yourself, matters of your destiny will be hidden from you. A hiding man can never receive an unveiling of the matters of his destiny. When you hide, issues of your destiny will also hide from you. It is hiding, begetting hiding. Revelation is never the portion of a hiding man. There are things that God can no longer release unto you by revelation because you are a hiding man. A hiding man can never receive. Revelations are hidden from a man that is hiding. Instructions are hidden from a man that is hiding. You can't be hiding and expect God to reveal his purposes, his future plans for your life. The Bible says, Adam and Eve were hiding. And you know what? Do you know where they were hiding? I said last time, let me say it again. Among the trees of the garden. I mentioned some things that time, but let me say some other things about it. Where were they hiding? Among the trees of the garden. Among the trees of what? Of the gardens. Of the garden. Those trees were God's provision for their lives. They were there to feed on some of those trees. This one, you can eat from here, you can eat from here, you can eat. So, by the grace of God, they were hiding where? Among the trees of God's provision. The trees that God provided for their upkeep, they were hiding among the trees. Let me say to you, even as a man in the church, are you not using God's provision for your life as testimony to cover up your nakedness? You even come to church and say, yes, praise God,
God did this one for me. God did this one for me. And you'll be giving testimonies as if it is well with you, using God's provision as an occasion for hiding. Some people, because God has blessed them maybe with money, with financial resources, material resources, they hide from men. They hide from the presence of God by doing what? Deceiving people by their material things. When the pastor says, who has so and so to give to us? Who can do this? Who can do that? They come out and bring big things. No problem. It's not bad to give to God. It's not bad to do sacrifice to God. But let me ask you, as you are doing that sacrifice, as you are doing that thing, as you are giving out that thing to God in the house of God, yes, on which condition are you doing it? As a man that is open to God, that is in the presence of God, or as a hiding giver? Trees of provision. Trees of protection. Trees of elevation. You know? Trees can be used as instruments for all elevation. Somebody, it is possible for a man to climb a tree and be up so that he can see, have a higher, a better view. When somebody like Zacchaeus wanted to see more Jesus, and because of the crowd, and he was of a small stature. What did he do? He climbed the sycamore tree to see him, who he was, Jesus. But what happened? Jesus came. When Jesus came and saw him, say, Zacchaeus, come down quickly. Now, why these people were hiding even among the trees? Because they were naked. Are you there? Hiding under the tree of prosperity. Trees of divine blessing. Trees of blessing. Hiding when you come to the presence of God, you display some kind of, because God is blessing you, you are using it as a cloak, as a reason to show to people that it's well with you. You are deceiving yourself. You can use what God has granted you, has given to you, as a tree, as a hiding place, as a tree to hide. See, among the trees of the garden. Nothing happened to the trees of the garden themselves. There was nothing wrong with any of the trees of the garden. But the man, the fallen man, was using them to hide. Let me ask you, under which tree are you hiding? There are some of you. Maybe the work that God has graciously granted you. The work can be a secular work, and it can even be the ministry. Are you not hiding under the trees of God's provision? And I'm not using it as a cover up, as if it is well with you. You know, trees are also used for construction work. Even in those days when the tabernacle was to be made, they used it for construction. In the days of Solomon, when they were to build the temple, the trees were involved. He had to send somebody, Tyre, a man from Tyre, and so on and so forth. The Bible says they use those, the wood from all those things. Trees of construction. Let me say to you, God is constructing your life. And the process of constructing your life, you slipped off in His hand. I pray for you. You will not slip out of God's hand of construction and still be coming out as if you are still under construction. May you not be under construction and use the same construction to hide from the presence of God. There are some people, God is trying to bring you up. as a servant of God, as an evangelist, as a singer, as a man in government, as a man in the academic and the rest of them, that God will be glorified through your life. But now that you are no longer doing well with God, what is happening to you? You have lost out among the trees of God's construction. God is trying to construct you, to make something out of you. But now you have gone off track. God will deliver in the name of Jesus Christ. Now let us go further. Let's go further. Among, he hid themselves among the trees of the garden. I pray you will not stand on what God has started to make out of you and then spoil from it. There's something that God is trying to make out of you. There's something he wants to make you to become. But now, you have lost out, and you come out empty. You come out naked. You are still struggling. Are you a musician? Are you a singer? Or are you a preacher? You now come out preaching empty, and yet you are hiding, struggling under the tree of what God has provided for you. And God deliver us in Jesus' name. Let's move further. They were hiding among the trees. They lost their place in the presence of God. Do you know there are some people that God is trying to just do more work in their lives? But what do? They project themselves. Do their unfinished and unfurnished projects. What is God trying to do in your life? What is that thing that God wants? What is that project that God is handling in your life? But you have gone off track. You have begun to project yourself. Why there is a lot of unfinished work, finished project in your life? I pray for you. You will not miss out in destiny in Jesus' name. Let's move further. Now, when they heard the voice of God in the garden, coming from the garden, the Bible says they were hiding. And what did they do? Look at what the Bible says from that verse. Let's go back to that verse. In verse 9, and the Lord God called unto Adam and said to him, "Where art thou?" That is the question. The Almighty now began to call on the man. You see, "Adam, where are you?" This is very important. When God begins to ask a man about where he is, it means the man has lost out. You can never be in the presence of God and he will still be asking you, "Where are you?" Of course, even human beings, somebody cannot be with you and you still be asking, "Where are you?" Let me ask you this moment, friend. If God will begin to now discuss, if he has something now to say to you, can he begin to say it straight? Or if first of all, he has to find out where you are. Where are you? Are you situated in proximity with God? No. You see, where are you? And as God came, that is to say, the place when God came into the garden, There is a particular location, there is a particular environment, there is a particular, fair that God used to relate with them, but they were not there. Oh, may God help us in Jesus' name. When God came to the garden, and they were hiding, the man and the woman, they were hiding among the trees of the garden, God did not say, why are you hiding among the trees of the garden? The question is what? Where are you? Although the trees were in the garden and God was omniscient, he knows everything. But he knew where man can be accessed. Now, man, was he having access to the trees in the garden, but he has lost access to the owner, to the planter of the trees? Let me say to you that may you not have access to the trees of divine provision, to the trees of blessing, to the trees of promotion, to the trees of prosperity, while God is busy asking you, but where are you? God, I don't know whether you are following this matter. Accessing the trees, but lost the planter of the trees. Let me ask you this moment. That you are still having access to the blessings of God upon your life. You are still having access to that promotion that God granted you. You are still having access to that glorious provision and help that God has granted you. You are still having access to the prosperity of God. It is still there. You are still accessing the prosperity. And God, I'm asking you, can you still say that God, in the midst of all that, God still have access to you? May you not have access to what God has released to you and lose access to him who released it to you. The man, the woman, they had access to God's provision. They had access to the blessing that God has blessed them with, the trees of the garden, but they have lost access to God. May you not have access to what God has given to you. May you not even be prospering, so to say, in your hands, while you have lost access to him. Can you see? Do you know that there are people, they can be busy in something that God has even granted them, given to them, and they are even moving and moving and moving, and people say, yes, God is with him. God is helping him. And God is crying. Heaven is crying. This one, in the process of pursuing my provision, he has lost out in the provision. May you not lose out in the place of divine provision, in the place of divine blessing, while the blesser, the one that has blessed you, is seeking for you, saying, where are you? Where are you? And of course, he didn't say, we are among the trees of the garden. Come and see us, we are here. No! You talk about that, we'll talk more about that one. Can you see today? Even you as a servant of God, Probably God has blessed your ministry and has even given you a great congregation and you are blessing people. The congregation is still there. The congregation might not have run away for now. They may still be there. But God is saying, oh man of God, oh preacher, oh great man, but where are you? And unfortunately, the congregation is still there shouting and screaming, say hallelujah, God is helping the man of God that God is saying, but where are you? Man of God having access to the people, but losing access to the God, to God. Having access to the people of God, but have lost access to the God of the people. That shall not be your portion in Jesus' name. Bible says, you ask him, where are you? Ask them, where are you? Let me say to you, if you now begin to seek the face of God in reality, can God begin to just commune with you, relate with you on an, in fact, on a normal note? Or first of all, you begin to say, excuse me, wait. This is why you are crying. This is why you are shouting. There is something I need to do first before I relate with you. What about this matter? Where are you now? Look at you. You are shouting. Yes, but I can't see you. I can't hear from you. There is something that has become a barrier between me and you. Excuse me. Is there nothing that is a barrier between you and God? See, makes a man not to be seen by God in the spirit. When you commit sin, God, when you commit sin, that sin will make you not to be seen. Will make what you are doing for God not to be seen. When you sin, sin makes you not, makes your work not to be seen. It makes your work not to be seen. Sin can reduce you to an infinitesimal state that God will seem not to see you. Sin make God to seem not to see a man. Sin makes God, sin makes a God to seem not to be able to see a man. So sin reduces a man to such an infinitesimal state that God may not be able to see even his works. May you not be reduced by sin to the point that God will say, where are you? What about you that is shouting and screaming in church and you are even singing and shouting, everybody is saying yes. But God is saying, but where is the singer? You are preaching and people are vibrating. Yes, yes, yes. Man of God, why? And God is still shouting, where is the preacher? How can we be in a place and God is saying, where are you? Is it not an error? The Bible says, say to the man, where are you? Now, look at the response of the man. What did the man say? Say, I was ashamed. I heard a voice in the garden and I was afraid. Say, I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. You understand me? Now, listen. Look at what the man did. When God came and asked Adam, asked the man, where are you? What was God's question? Friend, please. What was God's question? The first problem that God faced with man is the problem of location. Where are you? I can no longer see you. God help us in Jesus' name. Location. So, when the man sinned, he lost his location. He was lost in his what? In his location. In the presence of God. And you know what happened? He said, where are you? So what was the bone of contention at this point as far as God was concerned for that time? It was where Adam was located. Where was he operating from? Located among the trees. But dislocated from the presence of the owner of the trees. Located in the place of provision, but dislocated from the owner of the provision. May you not be dislocated from God and be located in the things that you have given, he has given to you. May you not be busy, located. You can only be identified and be located where God has taken you, where God has provided for you, but you have been dislocated from him. May you not be located in blessing, but dislocated from the blesser. Do you know? The Bible says, God said, where are you? That is to say, God was addressing his location. But what was Adam addressing? He was addressing his condition. Listen, God said, where are you? What is that thing? Location. But what was Adam's response? He was saying, I was naked. I was afraid because I was ashamed. I was naked, this and that, and I hid myself. You know, I was afraid and I hid myself. See, this and that, because I was naked. Say what? Who told you that you're naked? So the issue now is that Adam was addressing his condition, that God was asking him of his location. Can you understand? Where are you now? And he said, I'm afraid. I'm naked. Can you see what that thing is? God was addressing location, but the man was addressing condition. He was addressing situation. Do you know that that is what many do today in the church? They come to the presence of God. They want to address their condition, but they don't want to address their location in the presence of God. An error. Somebody is having a problem. Somebody is actually having a need, something that needs to be done in his life. But instead of him to trace his way back to the presence of God. No, that's not the issue. Man of God, tell me my problem. They want the problem to be addressed, but they don't want to change their address. Did you hear me? Are you not one of those that come to the presence of God and you want your matters to be addressed, but you don't want to address the matter of your address? Did you hear me? Where is your address with God? Where is your location with God? You have gone all over the places seeking men of God, seeking what God has to say about you. Yes, fine. You only want people to know what your problem is. Who is even the source of your problem? Who is even against your life? You want to know who is it, but you don't want to know your own location, your own situation, as far as your relationship with God is concerned. And let me tell you, to a great extent, although not all, so to say, but to a great extent, your condition is a function of your location. There are things that happen to you because you have left God. There are some good things that leave you because you have left God. There are certain things that have begun to have access to you because you have lost access to God. And so God is like, I want to have, first of all, access with you. It's not a matter of your condition. First of all, let me have access to you. Access me, and I will address your situation. There are people who don't care whether they access God. They only want their situations to be addressed, not for them to access God. So they come to the church, they just want to receive healing. They want to receive deliverance. They want to receive this. They want their matters to be addressed. But they don't want to change their spiritual address with God. Of course, their address is the place of wickedness. The address is in the atmosphere of cheating and lying. The address, they are really located in the place of immorality. And instead of addressing where they are located, they are busy addressing their condition, which resulted from their location. May you not lose sight of this matter. Adam, where are you? You say, I'm naked. I'm afraid. I'm naked. What's the meaning of that? Now, let me say this. So, he did not address the situation properly. Adam did not address his situation properly, and he remained undressed. Let me put it that way. He just dressed himself with it for an undressed man. Let me say to you, if you don't address your condition, if you don't address your situation properly, you will remain undressed in the spirit. So what you don't address will render and keep you undressed. What you refuse to really address, it will keep you undressed. You will just be naked before the enemy. May you not be undressed because you have not addressed your matters appropriately in the name of Jesus Christ. Can you hear that? The Bible says, look at what the Bible says here. See, I was naked. And he said, who told you that you are naked? Now, God, how comes although
I wanted you to tell me about where you are, and are now telling me your condition. Okay, who told you? Let me say again, child of God, don't be only good talking about your condition. Don't be only good in talking about your condition, but talk about your location. Listen, when you address your new and unfortunate location, you'll be ready to dress up yourself in God's presence. What was that? Your new and unfortunate situation, location, that you have found yourself in. May you address it properly in the name of Jesus Christ. See, who told you that you are naked? How comes? You see the answer he gave to me, to God now. You see, the woman that you gave me to be with me. Do you see that? What's the implication? This woman that you brought with me, instead of him to say, the helpmeet, if my helpmeet is the one, you see, the woman that you gave to me to be with me is the one. In other words, why did you even give me this woman? If not for this woman herself. And so there are some people. Why God is withholding some help from you is because you are not yet ready to handle the help appropriately. God, may you understand what I'm saying? Why God, you are crying and say to God, I need your help, help me, and take me to this level, increase me, do this to me, do that to me. You are actually asking God for help, and God is slow in giving you, granting you that help. Probably, God has seen that if he releases that help to you, you may end up frustrating that help. You will end up going astray as a result of that help. You will end up saying, if not because God even exposed me to this kind of thing, I wouldn't have gone to this. Now, let me ask you. When you have not gotten a great job, when you have not gotten to a very high position in your place of work, and your business was not that much, and actually you had that time to serve God, and that time you were praying, say, God, grant me promotion, and suddenly God promoted you to a high level. Now I'm asking you, are you not frustrating the help of God by promoting you? And then, when God is trying to point out that you are no longer as committed as before, the way you are doing now, you are sliding back, you are backsliding, your prayer life is dying, your life of consecration is dying. Why? What are you saying to God? You see, oh God, you even know that this job you gave to me, the level it is, you know it needs commitment. It is this thing that you gave to me. Are you not asking God like that? You may look at Adam and say, Adam, the way he talked, that is what some people are doing. See, God understands. He knows that the work really demands. It is demanding. It demands much of my attention. It is so demanding. God knows. So it means that the help of God is not there to help you to become better for God. No wonder God
may not release certain dimensions of his help to you. Because he knows that at the end of the day, you frustrate your life. You'll be frustrated. I pray that the weight and the rootedness that you need to carry for the help of God not to frustrate your life, may you receive that rootedness and that weightiness before the help will come in the name of Jesus Christ. And some people, when they went to see Paul, they served God very well. And they believed God for more. For blessing. And when suddenly heaven opened, and God helps them and blesses them with more money, what happens? They are pursuing their many, many projects. They are pursuing their businesses that give them money because they want to make sure that nothing happens. This thing increases. And so they lose out in the place of their consecration, in the place of their relationship with God, in the place of their prayer life, in the place of their personal devotion to God. And when you ask them, they say, ah. This thing that you have given to me. You see, the woman that you gave, that you brought to be with me, I pray that God's gift will be a lift to you. It will not be a pull. It will not be a puller. It will not be a demoter. But will be a lifter of your life. In the name of Jesus Christ. May the gift of God not sift your life. May it rather lift your life. In the name of Jesus Christ. May you grow with God. That nothing he gives you will sift you. There are people that are, instead of being shifted further, they are sifted. Gifted, but sifted. Gifted, but not spiritually shifted upward. May God's gifts be a shift to you and not be a sifting agent in your life. In the name of Jesus Christ, may you not be gifted but sifted, but gifted and shifted. In the name of Jesus Christ. See, the woman that you gave to me, to be with me, God, what an unfortunate situation. Gifted, but stripped. Gifted, but emptied. Helped. But at the end of it all, crushed. May God's help not crush you. In the name of Jesus Christ. You know, he accused God for the provision of help. He similarly said, if not for this your so-called helpmate, I wouldn't have been in this condition. I pray God's provision will not be instrumental to your downfall in Jesus' name. Now let me ask. Why didn't Adam report Eve to God? I thought he would threaten Eve. Say this thing that you want me to eat. I know you have eaten it. But before I eat it, let me first of all go and report the matter to God. What happened? Why didn't he report his disobedience to God? That's the issue. Yes. You say the woman that you gave to be with me, is the woman the problem? If the woman actually has become problematic, what did you do about it? What did you do about the matter? Did you report her to God? If that job, if that promotion, if that help, if that blessing is becoming a problem to you, did you report it to God? I pray that God's help will not import weaknesses to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Child of God, generally. Big man, that's a child of God, generally. What God has given to you, be honest. When you discover that things are no longer as it used to be before, what do you do? Are you not just struggling because you know that, wow, this help is good, this thing is good? You are pampering it instead of reporting that issue to God. Can't you say to God, God, I discover that all of a sudden, my attention to this job, my attention to this prosperity, my attention to this your blessing, my attention has been drawn more to it. This thing is achieved. I'm no longer working. I'm no longer in tune with you like before. What's happening? Now, help me. This thing is causing me something. Do something about it. And I know God will know what to do about it. I believe if Adam had reported Eve to God, God would have swiftly come into his aid. What did he do? He just collected it. Now, who received the instruction in the first place? Adam. When God called, whom did he call? Adam. Let me tell you. You are responsible for whatever God has granted you or has given to you. If you fail, it is your problem. Now, since my intention is not to treat about family issues here, let me say to you that as a man, you need the help of God. Fine. But I pray the help of God for your life will not frustrate the purpose of God for your life. Promotion is just inside purpose. Your promotion is just within your purpose. Any promotion that frustrates purpose, it's an unfortunate promotion. Any provision that frustrates your purpose is an unfortunate provision. Listen to me. Before I round up, I will say to you, may God's provision, may God's promotion, may God's prosperity, may God's help not frustrate his purpose for your life. Purpose precedes prosperity. Purpose precedes promotion. I pray for you that God's purpose for your life will never be frustrated for whatsoever reason in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, the Bible says, look at what is happening here as I conclude. It says, and the man said,
And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and thus shalt thou eat all the days of thy life, and so on and so forth. Now, I'm not even into that. Now, when God began to find out from the man, the man shifted blame to the woman. And then when God asked the woman, what's your problem? What's the problem? What was the problem? He said, the serpent beguiled me. That was how the shifting of blame was going and going and going. Can you imagine that? Man, where are you? Instead of the man to sit up and say, still, we have eaten. Of course, I'm sorry that I never cautioned my wife about this matter, said the woman. So, okay, woman, why did you do this? Hey, it's serpent. And you can know God. God began to curse the serpent from where the devil had access to the man. Can you imagine? The serpent that made itself available for the devil to enter, God began to do what? To curse it. I pray for you. You will not become an available point or entrance for the devil against any bad condition. Serpent, because you did this, this is your portion. You will no longer walk on your legs. You will now be walking on your belly. You will be gliding. Your stomach will be walking. Will be what you will be using to walk. Can you see that? No matter what, you will no longer stand up. Your legs right now. I command you that your legs will no longer be used to walk. I pray for you that you will not lose your place. You will not lose your place in standing before God. In the name of Jesus Christ. Woman, why have you done this? Oh, in pain will you begin to give birth to children. And so on and so forth. And the most unfortunate thing is this. And when he came to the man, he said, this ground is cursed because of you. God. Why? The ground is now cursed because of you. Can you imagine that because of the state of the man, the state of his ground was affected? The state of the man affected the state of his ground. The ground from where he was going to produce what was going to sustain him was cursed because of him. You know, there are some people, they begin to worry why things around them, they are not working, this one is not working. Your ground is cursed if you are under a curse as a result of sin. Sin is a curse. Sin brings curse. Sin has a curse attached to it. You say, why are things happening to me like this? Why am I doing? Why is it like this? I do this, it doesn't work. This one doesn't work. This and that and that. Why is it? Why are all these things happening? Go back. Your ground cannot be in order while you are not in order.
your ground responds to your life. What is around you responds to what is inside you. You cannot stand on good ground while you have no good feet. You determine what happens to your ground. So because of the ground is cursed. He came to the point, thorns and thistles. What's the meaning of that? Thorns and thistles. Pricking kind of things it will produce for you. What will be troubling you is what you are going to be receiving from here. We're not going to end all of that. But let me pray for you. I will pray for you. I say, God. And you are going to pray. Also, I say, God, have mercy. That my ground will not be frustrated because of my life. Whether you like it or not, the man standing on a ground determines what happens to the ground. When you are blessed, you have grounds. Your ground where you are standing, where you are cultivating, where you are walking, will also be blessed. I want to say to you, where you are walking, you will make it in Jesus' name. You need promotion, you will be promoted in Jesus' name. But your state determines the state of your ground. No matter how you till your ground, with hard work does not necessarily change hard ground. Hard work done on hard ground makes the result to be hard, hardly achieved. Hard work on hard ground makes the result to be hardly achieved. May you not walk on hard ground. May you not be working hard on hard ground. And what caused all this, we'll still go back, is because of the state of the ground, of the man. I pray for you this moment that God will help you. Don't shift matters. Own it. Don't say this one happened. No. Address it straight. Say to yourself, say, I'm sorry. I've done wrongly. Shifting up and down. At the end, will you stop God from pronouncing his curse? This moment, we're going to pray. I want to ask God, God, help me. That I will not frustrate your destiny and desire for my life. Father, we thank you. Blessed be your name for your word that you have heard. Help us. And make us what you want us to become. And our destinies will not be frustrated also whatsoever. Blessed be your name today. Thank you for your word that you have challenged us with. Grace to live a life that you expect of us. Grant us in Jesus' name. Thank you for answering our prayers. For in Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. God bless you.